Masters of the Universe, episode 77!
77!
Yeah, baby!
Woo!
Woo!
Party!
Yeah!
Hi, guys!
Jeremy, you look old since the last time I seen you.
Yeah, I know. It was like 832 years ago.
Feels like it. Wow. Man, I'll tell you, so much has happened since we've been, since we've recorded. We're back in our houses.
Yeah. We did Halloween, and then shortly after that, it was all of a sudden, you know, I'm not saying they were, you know, linked or anything. I'm just saying since then, we've kind of had to pull back and...
Things are hitting the fan, I guess, so anyways.
I coughed on every single piece of candy before I gave it to a child.
It was you.
Dirty monster, Matthew Rodriguez.
I knew you were a villain.
He is.
Hey.
That really? Smile gives it away. You know, he's got the big smile that's convincing, but then look at the eyes.
Yeah, you know.
Those eyes are evil eyes. You gotta invite the villains on the show, though, so that way, you know, you can see how heroic and awesome we are, you know, emphasize it a bit.
Well, we had to have Matt on this show because he helped us out.
He did help us out, yes. So I guess we should probably just get right into it. What do you think?
Well, yeah, well, anyway, since it's been so long, if this is your first time here on the show, I'm Steve Bisciotti.
Steve, yes.
I am Steve.
I'm Jeremy DeWitt.
Jeremy DeWitt, and we have our third wheel.
I'm helping.
Matthew Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have seen that little meme where it's the kid on the back of the bus of Simpsons, and he's like chuckling and he goes, I'm helping.
Yes. Yeah.
That's me for this episode.
Thanks.
Oh, you're Ralph Wiggum?
Yes, I am.
We choose you.
Man, so.
Yeah, so.
We've got a lot to dig into. Well, we've got.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like I'm cutting you off. Sorry.
No, it's we're used to being in person, so it's like I'm feeding. There's a a little bit of a delay. So go ahead. I apologize.
No. Yeah, we've had a lot to catch up on. Obviously, we have our contest, our creative figure character, creative character contest. We need to. Matt's showing me things as I'm talking, so I get distracted easy.
He's
I'm like squirrel.
Toys over the video there. Some mini constructs.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got that to sort out, and that was. We'll talk. We'll get a little bit into it a little deeper later, but that was an undertaking for us, and a little bit one of the reasons why we're delayed so much because we didn't want to come back without a winner, and here we are. We're back in our new episode, and we're going to have a winner today.
Truth be told, that was a pretty difficult process getting it down. I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect so many good ones to have to choose from, you know?
Ugh. I didn't expect so many, totally.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I mean, this is our third contest we've done, and we've always had pretty good participation, I think.
Yeah.
In the first two, but this one just... I mean, what, it triple timed?
Easily, yeah. We ended up getting 39 entries for this.
That might be quadruple timed.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, this should be pretty easy. And you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, and on top of it, we had some really good quality entries in multiple different styles. And, you know, I mean, obviously from sketches to... beautifully done digital stuff to
there were some pictures,
photographs to
some
custom
custom origins figures.
Yeah, we had said before that we were gonna include Matt in on the choice for this because we didn't want to be fully blamed when people get mad. So we're going to point all the blame to Matthew here. Whoever's upset, just reach out to him.
Yeah, if you don't like it, we're kicking Matthew off the show.
Yeah. Yeah, big grin on his face. Have you ever dressed up like the Joker, Matt?
You know what, Jeremy? I'll tell you a quick story. No, I have never dressed up like the Joker, but I did audition for a musical called Honk, and I auditioned specifically for the hero lead, which was the main, I can't think of what kind of duck is it. It's not a duck, it's a swan. I auditioned for the goofy-looking swan guy, and they called me back, and they said, you got a lead role, and I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome. And I think I'm going to be the goofy swan, you know, the dumb guy that goes around and then he ends up being the sexy swan at the end. They said, no, you have the main villain role, who is the cat. And wow. he has a French accent and he's the cat. And it's for all of the reasons why you just pointed out. Apparently my smile was a little bit too conniving and I was too, I don't know if it's mysterious. I'm going to say sexy. But
sexy swan, I was, man.
I ended up being the villain because of the smile. So no Joker, but I was the cat.
It's about the same thing. Yeah.
Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Wow.
All right. Yep, so here he is. We had him help us figure all these out. And, yeah, 'twas not an easy task.
It wasn't, but it was something, you know, we did well. We had drop down arguments. At one time I told Matt I hated him.
Yeah.
And at one time he insulted my mother.
Yeah, I had to talk to these guys separately and sway them into liking each other again.
It was difficult because he was just wrong on a few of them. He was just like, you know, he was like this isn't any good. This needs to be thrown away. And I was like, no, it's the best. And there was a lot of distance between us.
Yeah,
we had to come together.
Yep, venom. Well, just spitting.
Yeah, the thing is, and I will say this to your fans that listen to podcasters, they are very creative and they like to have fun. And when I saw all these entries, when Jeremy was sending them over to me, just to kind of give them a once over and send over the stories and stuff, it really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, I think that your fans echo a lot of what you guys represent with the MOTU community, because it was just so creative and so fun. And yeah, I can't wait for you to kind of just start rattling these off, but I very much appreciated being involved with this, so much to the point where I was able to kind of sketch them all out individually just so I could kind of wrap my mind around the creativity of your fans. But it's phenomenal. So
well, and so yeah, fun. Let's talk about that real quick too, because the first one that I sent out was done by a little kid. So the art was, you know, rather, quote unquote, crude, you know, it's like with a crayon and like pencil and stuff. And Matt sends me back a picture of like his version of it. I'm like, oh, dude. and you had done that couple times. And it was like, you should do every single one of the entries. Then we have this unified look and it'll make it easier for us to kind of envision this. And plus, it's kind of cool. It's fun.
Which worked out great.
Yeah.
Because he did. Yeah. And we could look at all of them together actually in one shot of them just lined up next to each other in the same art style, and talk about crude art, you know.
A lot of rough lines. And, but it got the point across.
It did get the point across.
Very much so.
And then also that was a way for Matt to make the whole thing about him. You know, he found a way to turn this competition and, you know, just take the spotlight and, you know, put it right on that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does, so.
So what's the plan, Jeremy? We gonna do when we gonna drop in the the winner thing? Are we going to do that mid-show? Are we going to do that? What's your thoughts? You run this thing.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we could torture them and make them listen to some of the show for a little bit, and then they can find out who the winner is, or we could just drop it all right now. That way the people who only joined just to try to win the prize can hear their thing and get out.
Yeah, I'm for torture.
The fact that you guys made the prize that big, I mean, that's a whole argument in itself.
You complained last time we did that, too, for the last year when we did that.
You're way too nice. You're just way too nice.
I think it's fun. Like, I mean, I get that we could probably divvy it up amongst more people, but, I mean, come on, isn't it just, it's fun to participate, and whoever wins, I mean, everybody else applauds them, right? Like, dang, you got yourself a nice pile of loot there, so.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be a nice pile of loot.
Yeah. We did, but, you know, to be fair, we did get we decided to do a second and third place as well, so some honorable, you know, mentions, if you will. So, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
Well, Jeremy, I think we need to move on and go into the news.
All right. News it is. Cue news music. So this is a fun one. Have we possibly solved, not we personally, but the Wonder Bread Savage He-Man mystery? Spectre Creative, you know, Scott Knightlick, who used to be the former brand manager of Motu Classics. He's been putting up videos.
Also known as Toy Guru.
Yes, Toy Guru, yep. Created the Mighty Spector. His latest video, it actually sheds a lot of light on this figure. Like, for years, obviously, we've kind of all been like, it might be this, it might be this. There's a bunch of people that claim it's this, but there's no proof that it's this or that. And it kind of turns out that the buy three, get one free thing is how kids, at least most kids, ended up getting that figure. And the way they found that out is actually Scott uncovered, and I don't know how he didn't do this earlier, but I mean, I guess things get lost, but he photocopied and uncovered a letter from a lady who was complaining.
I thought I read that he missed that letter originally, and then that letter got thrown in these boxes. So this is, goes back to him when he's working as the brand manager for Classics.
Yeah.
He was researching for some a contest they were doing, wasn't he?
Yes.
I can't remember what he...
The Create a Character Contest.
Yeah, it was theirs,
okay,
yeah.
So he's researching for their Create a Character Contest. I mean... Like, that was a big deal. I mean,
right.
Ours is the real one.
Yeah, you guys are going to want these figures that we choose.
So, but he's researching for that, and he photocopied a bunch of stuff and a bunch of old files. He had unlimited access to the vault, I guess.
Yes. Yep.
And, the way I read it, I thought he said he totally missed that document. And it got thrown in these boxes that ended up in his garage, and as he was going through stuff, he just stumbled upon it.
Yes.
Is that not correct?
That is what happened.
Okay, good.
But, you know, it's just weird, because he said that he had gone through it, obviously, before, so the fact that he had somehow missed that is like, oh, you know, could have been solved a little bit sooner.
So what does this document say?
It's a handwritten letter from the mother. I can actually read it if you want me to.
I didn't know. I mean, you can either read it or explain.
It'll be pretty quick. It was sent to Mr. Wagner, who I believe was the president of Mattel at the time, Ray Wagner. And it said, "I recently took advantage of your buy three, get one free offer on the Masters of the Universe figures. I must say it was a very disappointing experience, not only for myself, but for my sons and nephews, too. What we expected was a complete person with equipment for that... Oh, with equipment. For that reason, we made sure not to buy any duplicate figures so that any one that we received would be all right. Between the boys, they now have the Castle, Battle Cat, Merman, Skeletor, Beastman, Zodak, He-Man, Man-at-Arms. Imagine their dismay... And with the figure they received. I think she wrote that weird. They asked, who was it? I explained that he was a special edition He-Man. Next question, where is his force field garment and weapons? I suggested they use the ones out of the castle. They said maybe I could buy them. Maybe I could buy them. They next suggested painting him the right color. These kids are interested in playing with the toy, not saving it because it's a special edition. I feel the company was trying to get off cheap at the kids' expense. The offer should have stated it would be a special edition or a true figure should have been sent. These kids have sent in for Star Wars and G.I. Joe offers and always received what was expected. I know that I would think about any other Mattel offers before I choose what I should buy. Sincerely, Barb Hackenberg.
Man. Barb.
Yeah, had she only Barb known... had she only known what it'd be worth today. I bet you they threw it away.
Barb. Now, you don't want to cross Barb.
No. She was the 80s original Karen, man.
She... And with the fun... Now, where this gets home for the three of us is... Judging by the zip code that you can see in the letter,
yes,
looks like old Scott took the time to put a sticky note or something over the address.
Right, but right? Still left the
yeah
the zip code,
and you can still see that the town she lives in begins with the letter R.
I punched in the zip code, and it immediately popped up where it was. So
yes.
Yes.
So she, at this time that this letter was written, she lives in a place called Ravenna, Michigan.
And this was...
We live in...
And I didn't give the date. It was August 16th, 1983 when they received it, so...
Okay. We live in a town. Me and Jeremy live in a town called Muskegon. Matt lives in Holland, which is, a good 40 minutes south of us,
yep.
Would you say, Matt? Actually, he lives in... He doesn't really live in Holland, but it's close enough. That's the biggest city there, and... So Ravenna is like 20 minutes up the road from us.
Yep.
So me and Jeremy, since we've been knocking on doors in Ravenna, seeing if anybody knows Mrs. Hackenberg.
Yeah.
And so far we've come up short. We've been chased away from a few places. I've been shot at. Yeah. But luckily the guy was blind. He couldn't hit me. And, so we're going to find Mrs. Hackenberg. And we're going to try to find that He-Man. I think it's up in the attic. And we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. There was a response within the company. And this was on 8/16 of 83, which I believe is the same day. It says, Mark, perhaps this lady has a valid point in that we should have specified that a special edition figure would be sent. Would you please prepare a response to her with a copy to Ray? A complimentary figure may be appropriate. Thanks, Judy.
See, like, she ended up getting a free figure out of that.
Yeah.
Get a Wonder Bread He-Man, you complain about it and get another free figure.
I don't get why she was... I mean, I guess, like, she was expecting a figure, I guess, with, like, weapons and all that stuff, but they just didn't want a different colored He-Man, but it's like... I don't know, they should have felt kind of special, I would have thought. Like, hey, look, you know, we got this one that nobody else has. But I guess it came with no armor.
From that angle, you know, thinking about it, like you're saying, you'd be happy you got kind of what would seem to be almost a one-of-a-kind or a very limited edition. You know, I'm just picturing from their angle, her sitting there, and these kids who... Whether they read the mini comic, it sounds like they read the mini comic because they talk about the force field garment. Yeah. So they're reading the mini comics, they're getting these figures. And so these kids, like, you know, any other kids, they probably know everything there is to know about this toy line.
Well, wait, didn't the cartoon start in September of 83? So this would have been like right before the cartoon came out. That's all they knew. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. So then, yeah, I'm just picturing them saying to their mom or whoever, like, you know, what is this? And the mom's like, oh, it's a limited. Did it be happy about it? Somebody, and they're like, no, it's not. This thing, we know nothing about it. It's not in the storyline. This isn't what he looks like. Like, You know what I mean? So I think that she was, from the sounds of it, she was venting to the company because her kids were not as happy as they she hoped that they would be, I guess.
Well, yeah, if I put myself in those kids' shoes, I would have been like, what the hell is this, too? Like, you just gave me a brown-haired He-Man, and he's got nothing. And the thing is, some people, I found a blog from some guy who claims his brother has, like, a, you know, like a perfect memory. And he was talking about how he got that figure with the buy three, get one free thing. And his came with nothing but a shield. That brown shield. So it seems like maybe they had a bunch of, you know, those extra weapons they gave Manny Faces. It seems like they just had a bunch of those and might have just thrown random ones in. So maybe there wasn't an exact weapon that even came with him, you know, a specific one each time. So.
But obviously hers came with no weapons.
As far as I can, it's really, it's kind of hard to tell.
I mean, judging that she complained about it not having any equipment.
Yeah, and it says, yeah, where is his force field garment and weapons? So, but now I think Scott said something in the video about him just about him having the sword, like the Castle Grayskull sword in brown. But I don't know. She doesn't say anything about that here, so maybe he either misinterpreted it or he knows something else. But.
When you're saying Castle Grayskull sword in brown, you're obviously saying the power sword, or are you saying little weapons rack? Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured.
And when you say brown, do you mean
it's more burgundy? More burgundy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like we're on the same page then.
Yeah. The Manny weapons.
The Manny faces. Yeah. Yep.
So I mean, it seems like they could have just thrown anything in with some of these guys, if anything at all. But I guess that part, I guess, is sort of solved now that we have, you know, documented proof. But it still doesn't say why they had that He-Man. The difference in the sculpt, you know, in the shorts and stuff like that. And, you know, he obviously wasn't just a repaint because there's no yellow hair underneath. I mean, he was painted that color straight up. So, I don't know. Cast his waist would have been cast in. I don't know which part is painted off the top of my head. I think the brown. But anyway, regardless.
I still think it's just an early version that they had run a sample of and had how many of these laying around. What are we going to do with these? Buy three, get one free, we'll give them away.
Yeah, right. Then we don't have to get rid of our actual stock of figures that they'll pay full price for. We can get rid of all these. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have any proof that that's exactly how it went down, but it sure seems like a logical...
Yeah, it's kind of pointing in that direction.
That would be pre-Faker?
Yes.
Would it? Even
if... I think so.
Because along the lines of the whole, you know, selling of Faker and being like, oh, well, you know, it's a blue He-Man. We'll just make him into a character and we'll sell him. So, I mean, is that story legit? The one where they just ran a bunch of blue He-Man and then they needed to sell him? Or am I misremembering that?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know that I heard that before.
No, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that story either.
I just
heard that '82.
They accidentally were making He-Man and they had the blue plastic and from the run of Skeletor, and then they had to figure out they had thousands of these blue He-Man. And they had to figure out how to get rid of them, and so they actually just made it into a character. I feel like you guys had heard that before, or no?
I don't know, maybe. I never know. I forget what I did 2 seconds ago. So, it's
well, if your fans are listening, if any of them can confirm or deny if they've heard that story, that was how that Faker, the action figure, was an accident, and then they ended up using it to sell... and make a new character, That's what I have heard. So I guess I'm looking for confirmation within your circles.
Well,
he's looking your way, Penny.
If I can tell you one thing, chances are our fans are smarter than us.
Yeah, yes. No truer statement has ever been said. So yeah, that's, I don't know, check it out. And actually, you know, I started watching some more of his videos, and they're pretty informative. They're fun. So,
well, being a, you know, we all know the job he had, so I would assume he's got a lot of cool inside info.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. Check it out.
It's a good channel. Next, I don't know if you guys have seen of this, but Pixel Dan has reviews up for the PowerCon exclusive Lords of Power 5-pack and the She-Ra with rooted hair. Did you guys watch that at all?
Oh, yes.
So did I. Matthew, he's like, no, no.
I did not watch, but I have seen images, and I'm super excited because I did get the power... the Lords of Power 5-pack, and now since my wife dove into the life of a toy reviewer, she is actually upset that she did not let me get the rooted hair She-Ra when that was up for sale.
Now she's kicking herself, huh?
I gotta say that I love that rooted hair She-Ra. From the video review.
Yeah,
she looks really good. That we watched. I was like, that was one of those things where it's like, I don't know if I really need that, but I'm ordering the rest of this, so what's, you know, $50 more or whatever she cost. Right. I don't remember. You know.
Did you get two of them?
No, I did not.
Okay, never mind.
No. But especially the packaging presentation.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk about too.
Go ahead.
Because, well, not only does it have cool packaging on the figure, but it comes in the cardboard box with like hand art, you know, hand drawn art on there, which I believe was maybe early art. I don't know if it was redrawn or not. I assume it probably was redrawn now that I look at it, but regardless, the figure's really cool. The bubble looks pretty sweet on it. It looks really, really similar to the vintage package, but the cool thing is it's resealable. So it's, you know, you're not going to destroy the packaging. You can pull out the cardboard piece and it actually folds out and it has a little comic in there. Like the beginning of She-Ra there, and it folds out. The other side has like art, you know, of She-Ra flying around on Swiftwind and Hordak and the Horde and stuff like that. And I don't know, man, that's just really cool. I love it when they do resealable box art like that.
Yeah, and you know, the original San Diego Comic-Con exclusive pack that they did, I think, not this last year, but the year before, obviously, because we didn't have San Diego Comic Con, but
right.
Anyways, that, you know, they did that the same way where they had those first two Origins, He-Man and Prince Adam, in a resealable package. The packaging is awesome on that.
Yeah, and that's very much what the Lords of Power is on this too.
Yes.
That same thing where they have a little clear plastic over each little figure and all that, and you can pull it back and
did you guys both get the 2-pack He-Man and Prince Adam?
Yes.
Okay.
What, you need it for a review or something?
Actually, I did mention that to her, and she said that we have to hook up with you guys for that purpose. But I'm obviously now, because, you know, when that stuff hit, it was the same thing with the original, who was it, King Grayskull with the Classics line is... You know, some of us, and I will fully admit, I missed out on this one. If I would have known this is what Origins was going to be, I would have gladly bought that 2-pack. It just didn't strike me at the time, and I just decided to pass on that He-Man and Prince Adam 2-pack, and now I'm looking at it like, come on.
Yeah.
Be smarter.
Yep, you can always resell, but you can't usually rebuy without having to pay out your butt, so... I don't know, this figure looks really cool. I will say, her face is a lot different from that prototype picture we were shown.
Yeah.
Like, that picture had, like, really striking, like, blue eyes, and this just kind of has... I mean, they're kind of dark, so they almost look like her eyes are not even really colored. I don't know, just a different face altogether, but it doesn't look bad. But this also goes to show that it wasn't just Super 7 messing up the female faces. Mattel's doing it too, so... But I think she looks great. The thing with the shield, though, is I could see how that could be upsetting for some people because it doesn't spin. So when it's clamped onto her hand, it's always in that, like, side position.
So the part that grasps around the forearm isn't on a swivel like it originally was?
Right, yeah.
Was it originally on a swivel?
Yeah, you could spin it to...
Oh.
Yeah.
But see, the difference is now she has an articulated elbow, so she can actually hold it like a shield.
True.
Where before, if you're comparing it to like a Tila and an Evil Inn figure, they have that straight arm on the one side.
Right.
And they were unable to, you know... I don't see... That's not a big complaint.
Tila benefited from... Tila benefited from having a round shield too, though. But... But yeah, you could definitely put her in a lot of different poses, so it would work out fine. But I don't know. I think she looks really good. I'm actually pretty excited about it. After I saw all the packaging and all that stuff, I was like, there's no way I can open that. And then he pulls it out and unfolds stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. And that goes with the Lords of Power stuff, too. Same thing. They have the cardboard box on the outside, and it says Lords of Power at the top, and is He-Man versus Skeletor and like this pencil art looking thing. And when you get it, the whole package, I mean, it's giant, and it kind of looks like an old carrying case, the shape of it and all that stuff. Beautiful art on it. Four slots on the inside for all the figures, and I don't know that I'll even take them out of this because they're all in. They all look really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Beastman looks like he's swinging through with vines and...
Yeah.
Just the way he's posed, just the way that they've got this set up. But I'm definitely taking these out.
Oh, I mean, I'll take them out to mess with them for sure. But yeah, I don't know if I'm... I don't know. We'll see. You could take all that plastic out too, though, and just pose them up in their little cubbies, so...
I think they look fantastic, and I am most excited for Man-at-Arms, is that... Something about the design that they finally took that helmet, the art design of the helmet, and have it in 3D form. There's the comparison, excuse me, of the Origins Man-at-Arms and this Man-at-Arms right next to each other. And in my opinion, this one just blows the other one out of the water.
I'm a fan of it.
Yeah. That the bigger like mace club thingy. He's got the boot knife, the fur around the edges of the armor, the red
jewel.
Do
you know if the mace has the chain in it or no?
Oh, I don't think so. He didn't show anything like that happening. Okay.
Because I know in the original, like the concept art of him, and actually even the one of Skeletor. Like, had, like, the Havoc staff, the top of the staff was, like, on a rope. Gotcha. I don't know if you guys remember that art.
But that's where Mondo got that idea with Man-at-Arms Club.
To yeah.
Chain
yeah.
And a
yeah.
Ball.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
One thing that was really cool is, Pixel Dan pointed out, too, on his hand, he's got the hand for, who was it, Manny Faces? Or maybe even Trapjaw. Yeah. And they just paint... it orange, that little, you know, robotic looking part. So it looks like the armor actually goes all the way down over his hand and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
My favorite
very good
out of
attention to detail.
Yes. My favorite out of all of them has got to be Merman. I love how Merman looks, dude. All the little like globby things hanging from him and just all the spikes and that head. I mean, he's a great looking figure.
Merman appears to have like the most added.
Yes.
Like the most new parts put on there to make him look like what they're trying to go for.
Yeah,
you know, the rest of it is like other parts cleverly used, like you just said, they used a man at Manny Face's hand to pull off that effect. You know, a lot of it's just cleverly used reswapping of parts. But Merman seems to have, like, where they actually had to make stuff.
Yeah, I mean, his forearms have those, like, long fins on the gloves. And, like, even, well, of course, his boots. He's got, like, those little, like, I don't know. They look like webbed toes, like frog toes.
Yeah.
Pointing up. And, of course, these have more paint deco, too, which is really cool. And, like, his underwear has, like, it looks like scales, like, in the paint. Like, the way they did the paint on his undies, pretty good.
He's got, like, ruffles on his undies.
Yeah, he's...
like a baby.
Yeah. I love how they pose him. He's just, like, standing there waving. It's, like, my favorite. Like, Merman just kind of like, oh, guys!
He's like... Hello.
Yeah. Hi. That Beast Man is really, really cool looking too, though.
Yeah. I don't know if it is, but that action pose of the Beast Man makes it look really cool in the package.
Yeah. Swinging like that through the jungle. Yeah. Yep. God, those giant spikes on there too. He's got a lot of new sculpt there too. At least as far as his armor goes. That head's pretty wicked. Looks a little more like a gorilla.
Yeah.
I love Skeletor. The thing that draws me to Skeletor is probably the bat insignia on his armor just being painted that neon green to yellow. Like, I just want that piece of armor so I could put it on my Skeletor.
Yeah, it's really cool because, you know, we've seen that picture. You know, we've seen that image in the mini comics with the yellow bat.
And that's kind of what we thought Skeletor was going to have based on the San Diego ones that we got. We're like, oh, well, if this is what they're doing with Origins, then Skeletor's going to look like that. And then they showed him, and we're like, hey.
Yeah.
So now we have that armor.
Yeah.
Head's really weird, but I dig it.
Head is really weird. But it did, you know, it's true to what the head appears to look like in those pictures, and so I'm in.
It kind of reminds me of the movie, like how it's almost
agreed.
Yeah, like it's a skull face and really emaciated
a mask of a skull over like a actual face. Like it doesn't like I don't know if it's I'm getting the Voldemort feel off of it, but. It's cool. It's obviously not. It doesn't look like Skeletor at all, in my opinion, as far as like everything we've seen of him. So it's almost like same thing with Beastman and Merman and these. It's I think the excitement for me is that you're getting three versions of these villains that we've not really gotten before. So that's kind of cool in itself. That like. This picture that you sent me of Skeletor standing next to the Origin Skeletor and this Lords of Power Skeletor, like, as much as they're the same color scheme, especially the face, this doesn't look like the same guy to me.
Right. Right, they could be, you know, Skeletor and Skeletor Prime.
Right.
Which is what I might start calling him now. Skelly Prime. The thing, it's cool, too, they showed his, like, his boots, and he's got, like, the half boot thing going on. But the legs were actually cast in purple, so they repainted the blue part to look like his skin, and it kind of looks off. So, it is what it is.
He's got that whole Manny Faces thing going on, huh? Where the skin, the painted skin just doesn't seem to match the...
Right. And it's
the molded skin.
And it's not like we haven't seen that, I mean, throughout the years with other toy lines and all that stuff too, but still, it's like it does definitely.
I've never seen it before.
Never, ever.
Never, not my toys.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true.
Actually, I'm looking at vintage Flying Fist He-Man right now, and he's got a weird look too because you know his arms and his head are different than his neck.
Yes. Yep. And then I guess that brings us to He-Man, and He-Man is actually different from the San Diego release and the Origins figure on the shelf. He's got the vintage style head, but his skin tone is much brighter. And I mean, overall, he's much brighter. Like everything about him.
Except for his vest.
He's the center one.
Okay, I just wanted to verify that. So this center of these three images,
yes,
is the Lords of Power He-Man.
Yes. And he does not have the knife boot thing. But yeah, his chest armor, his harness, his force field garment is like a darker blue. Which is kind of like that art, the original figure, prototype, I should say. But yeah, if you're using this, trying to swap this head with your Origins head to have that vintage look, that color is going to be way off. So yeah, you might as well wait for that Battle Armor He-Man to come out, guys. But other than that, he doesn't look any different. He's He-Man. You know, they haven't really done much with him. So interesting thing, the cardboard part of the box says Lords of Power, but when you look at the actual box itself, it says Masters of the Universe. So I don't know if people are going to be upset by that or whatever, since this is the Lords of Power thing. Like, does it have to have the Masters of the Universe logo on there? Like, shouldn't it have a Lords of Power logo? But, you know, small gripe.
Right.
Oh, okay, well, now I'm...
Barb Sorry, from Ravana would probably have a problem.
Yeah, that. Barb would be really mad. What's that, Matt?
Barb would end up with a second free set because of it.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, it obviously was a choice. So, I don't know.
I'm telling you what, this, it looks like the picture behind Man at Arms. This vehicle is really cool looking.
That is a Mark Taylor concept art homage.
Okay.
It's kind of like a battle. I don't know if it's a battle ram idea or something. It's got the ram skull on it and looks kind of like a tricycle.
I love it.
Yeah, that painted art behind, or I don't know if it's painted, but it looks painted behind each of those cubbies. For them looks absolutely wonderful. I'm just tripping all over my words here. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait. These things are coming really soon. So.
that isn't that vehicle that Man at Arms is driving in the first 4 minutes. He shows up.
Yes. Yep.
It is that, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it was all prototype or like ideas, but they never came to fruition. It would be kind of cool if they could get to some odd vehicles like that, you know? I don't know how they could do it, unless they did like a, PowerCon exclusive or something like that, but I think that vehicle's cool as hell, so.
Yeah.
All right, anything else on those two sets?
No, sir.
All right, well, we've got to thank Pixel Dan for doing those videos. That was pretty awesome.
Yep, great review.
Yeah, good job, Pixel, and we're thinking about you.
Oh, yeah, get better, man. Yeah.
Posted recently some health stuff, and we just, we're thinking about you, and yeah, good vibes coming your way, bro.
Heck yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
PowerCon sent out some important updates today. Did you guys check these out at all? They were sent to my email anyway, so... I'll give you a rundown of some of the stuff, not all of it. It says multiple important updates from PowerCon. It says we here at PowerCon have multiple updates for you. We are covering 7 topics, and I will only go through some of these. So the first one I'm going to go through is the PowerCon 2020 online event. It says please accept our apologies for taking so long to post all of this. It's been 3 months since the online event. We cannot believe how fast time has gone by. We got slammed with projects, including finishing up the official He-Man and She-Ra toy guide that's coming from Dark Horse Books in 2021. We hope you will accept our humble apology for this very overdue thank you. The 2020 event went fantastic. We are so grateful for all of you who participated. It means a lot. I lost my spot. Okay. It means a lot that you took time out of your daily life to join other fans to see and hear news about current and upcoming MOTU offerings from Mattel and its partners. Said the virtual showroom was way more popular than we expected. Did you guys check out the virtual showroom? I feel like I didn't find that at all.
I may have missed that.
Yeah, I think I missed that. We were doing our... I mean, we were all hanging out that weekend, too, but I guess somehow I... Hello? I guess somehow I missed it. But they said that was a test to see what you all would think of a virtual room where you could interact with videos and images. We had a massive turnout for that room over the weekend. The design team worked very hard to make that fun, and Mattel and its partners offered some cool content for you to enjoy. It went over so well that we are looking at building a much bigger and more elaborate online room for 2021. We can't say much about it at this time, but we're looking at ways to include puzzles and hidden mysteries. It said the online panels, the turnout was very outstanding for those. As a result, they're exploring a way to again offer different types of live streaming experiences for the 2021 panels. As we talked about before, the 2020 event was free to give you all a little taste, little tasty taste. For 2021, we anticipate charging something to attend, but any fees will be tied to the type of online participation. We want you to feel you will get your money's worth. More info on that will be coming in 2021, and again, thank you to everyone who joined us. So that sounds kind of fun.
Cool.
Gives people more options because we didn't really have any online stuff before, so it kind of opened up that that little passage to all those people that can't go. Excuse me. Okay, shipping and address updates for PowerCon 2020 exclusives. That's what we were just talking about, the Lords of Power and the She-Ra. It says the 2020 exclusives are almost here. Once they all clear customs and are shipped to our facility, they should be ready to ship by mid-December. We really appreciate everyone's patience and understanding. 2 days ago, we sent an email to everyone who pre-ordered that is about updating their shipping address. So make sure you guys do that stuff. Next, PowerCon 2021. Planning for 2021 is moving forward and hope remains strong. Everyone wants to get back to a sense of normalcy, but your safety is more important. So we will follow the guidelines set in place by California as we gear up for the show. Hopefully, we'll all be back together September 11th and 12th, 2021. 2020 was already going to be a big year, and after the online event, there is more interest in PowerCon than ever before. 2021 will have important panels, more vendors, amazing guests, and the addition of programming for children and families. Also, those of us at PowerCon got an early look at the 2021 exclusives. Wow! We thought Mattel couldn't top 2020, but we were definitely wrong. We have no doubt you will be excited for the 2021 exclusives when those are eventually revealed. And here's one I think you guys will find interesting. PowerCon's own toy line. This is an announcement that may surprise some of you, but it will make a lot of sense to many fans. PowerCon is fan-built. While it has a focus on a love for He-Man and She-Ra, PowerCon has always supported indie projects from within our community. Outstanding fan comics and toy lines have been featured at PowerCon over the years, and many have been very successful. In order to remain fan-focused for years to come, PowerCon needs its own toy line that embodies our fandom. It won't be a He-Man and She-Ra toy line because we have Mattel to make those awesome toys. Instead, this will be a unique line for the fans of He-Man, She-Ra, and other related types of toy lines. A big aspect of this line is that it will be created in part from fan feedback. From the genre, to the level of articulation, to the packaging, to the style, every bit of this line will be created using fan influence. Your feedback from polls is what will shape this line from start to finish. Pretty interesting, huh?
What does it mean?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
And for the polling, we'll use data from the fans who support PowerCon. One thing we learned from He-Man.org polls in the past is fans who make a purchase are the ones who want to influence how that money is spent. So when shaping the initial look of this line, we will be polling all the fans who've supported PowerCon in 2019 and 2020 with ticket and exclusive purchases directly from PowerCon. Another factor... Oops, I missed it. Another factor where we will aim to make this PowerCon indie line more fan-oriented is the price. While making money is great, we also don't want to price anyone out of supporting this line. Therefore, we'll be experimenting with what we call sliding scale funding. What this means is we will distribute all costs across a variable quantity of figures. Starting out, this will be just one or two figures, but we hope it'll be a big success and grow well beyond that. Because the sliding scale works by telling you how many are made for the pre-order price, it also means you'll know the rarity of what you are pre-ordering. But most importantly, the more units that are pre-ordered means more affordable toy line for all. Another aspect of this line we'll incorporate is our community talent. Hey, I know some talented fellas.
Yeah!
While we already have a lot of amazing talent interested in working on this concept, we also want fan involvement. So if your dream is to help create toys, this could be a chance to show the world what you are capable of. Fans know what toys want, and it only makes sense to use fan input from start to finish. This is a line of action figures that will be for our fan base, and it represents a big part of what PowerCon is about. We will have more about this in the near future. For now, we'd like to hear your early impressions of the line and start getting feedback that can contribute to the initial polling. Whoa!
Wow, this is very interesting.
I know, right?
Is this new to you, Matt? Have you read this?
I have not read this. I'm listening to Jeremy explain everything to me, and I'm loving it.
I was going to say, don't we... We know some creative dudes, and Matt's actually kind of in the... I mean, you're a creative fella. You've got some comics out there and some characters that would make some great figures, and...
We're trying. Yeah. We're trying, slowly but surely. But they, no, that sounds... It's obviously very vague, but, I mean, I'm genuinely interested on... And it sounds cool. It's obviously... You know, we know a lot of talented people and creative people in that go to PowerCon and our friends in the toy world. So, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I'm thinking of...
They're not going to have a lack of participation, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's interesting.
No, this sounds very interesting. And, excuse me, but... I mean, my brain is just spinning right now on, like, what are the possibilities with this?
Right, like, how simple, how you know, involved, how just, I don't, my brain is spinning too.
PowerCon is about He-Man, so just the mere thought of making something that isn't necessarily He-Man, and doesn't seem to be defined at all, like, it doesn't even, I mean, we're not even saying it's...
It's pretty open-ended.
It's, yeah, I mean, cause this could be... It sounds like this could be even completely different than He-Man, like not even the same genre.
Right.
You know, and I would assume when you're dealing with a bunch of He-Man fans, they're gonna kind of wanna have something, somewhat
He-Man related.
Yeah, you know, something that's, you know, similar, but then, you know, but we've got so much of that already. I mean, we got
like the, you know, Realm of the Underworld Zolo stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, Zolo World stuff is there, and everything else. So. It just really has got my brain spinning as to what this really, what it's capable of creating, you know?
Right. Yeah, it just kind of, and that, you know, kind of came out of the blue. Like, we've never heard anybody, you know, at least in the PowerCon, you know, family, speak of making figures before. So, it's very interesting. I don't know. I'm definitely going to be paying attention to this for sure, so...
I think a lot of people will. I think we all are going to be paying attention to this.
Oh, yeah. And that's all the news I have.
That's the news.
Yeah, that is the news.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, which brings us to.
I'm looking at you. You want to do listener feedback, or do you want to do the contest?
I think this is a good place to do the contest.
All right, we'll do the contest. All right. Well, here, like I said, we got 39 entries. You guys said a bunch of really awesome, wonderful things about us, specifically more about me. I'm sorry, Steve. That's just the way cookie crumbles.
You're more likable than me. I know. I get it.
No, but seriously, like the outpouring from you guys and the like personal stories and stuff like that, it's really, really awesome. It's weird. I don't like to call them our fans. I'd like to say they're more our friends, because, you know, who are we? We're just some guys. But I don't know. It's very humbling. It's very awesome that you guys are paying attention. We'd be doing this anyway, but the fact that you guys are participating and having fun in the process is a really wonderful thing. So I guess I'll get into saying who sent us some stuff and what they sent us.
Now, we realize that there, like Jeremy said, there's 39 entries. All of them are pretty great. We had a heck of a time. I think there are multiple ways this could have went, but we had to choose. We had to whittle it down somehow.
Yeah, God, it was so hard.
And but we want to, you know, we want to go through these. I would love to spend a lot of time talking about each and every one of them. Unfortunately, we can't
very well do that. But the thing is, if you go on our Instagram or if you go on our Facebook pages, we have posted all of the entries there, so you can see, and they have their description and everything that was sent to us from the creators. So I will just kind of, I don't know, should I give a little description of what they look like or anything, or just kind of name them?
Yeah,
okay.
I think you should give the name and a little quick synopsis.
All right, so I will go through all of the characters now. The first one was Hothead by Morgan Buckley. This one was fun. The figure, the head was on fire. It had, like, ear gauges. This was done by a six-year-old, by the way, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
he has giant gauges in his earlobes and has a scimitar. So, yeah, that's Hothead.
And Hothead is totally a Masters of the Universe name.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The head on fire and stuff, too, that's fun. I like that.
Super cool, great job.
Yep. Next is Baleen Brawler by Brian Bame, which is basically a giant whale with pirate hat, like a skull and crossbones pirate hat, and a big harpoon. He's blue, and he looks real chill and kind of cool. He would have an action feature where you squeeze him or push a button, and he would shoot water out of his mouth. So,
not only would this be a cool Master of the Universe figure, but it also reminds me of a character that might be hanging out with the Wiggles.
Yes!
You know, like with Henry the Octopus.
Oh, my God.
And yes. Captain Feathersword.
I will fully admit this character... At first glance, I was like, nah. But then every time I kept looking at him and looking at the action feature and the description, I'm just like, no, it's there. And it, it continued to rise in the ranks of my favorite.
Yeah, it did.
All right, what's next?
Next, Koalar by Gary Rickelman, which is he's essentially a fighting koala dude.
Yeah.
He looks angry, though. He's angry, and the storyline has him tied into the Marlena Glenn's spaceship and stuff like that. He's got a spear, right. And yeah, he's very angry. You can tell because of the eyebrows. we don't have any koala bears. I don't think we have any bears, not that I know of, in He-Man, so it would have been nice to have a nice koala.
Just a lot of bear chests.
Yes. Ooh. Next is...
Good job, Gary.
Yes. Next is Shadow Man by Les Kosick. I hope I said your last name right. He was a protege of Beast Man. So he's basically, he's kind of that race, Beastman's race, and he looks really cool, decked out in black and black pants and big old glove and a mace and that helmet. Who's the helmet from? He's one of the wrestlers.
Triple H.
Yeah, yeah. He looks really chill. I like the pictures he took of him. He looks really, like, legit. Beastman would, he'd have a problem with this guy. So, cool name, though. Shadow Man. I like that. Next is, I hope I'm saying this right, Dryadia, by Matthew McCullough. And it's a forest spirit. It's a female, which is pretty cool. We didn't get a whole bunch of females, so it's nice to see that. She protects the forests of Eternia and the forces of evil that seek to dominate and consume. Really long leafy hair and cool rooty stuff. So, yeah, you guys definitely got to check these pictures out. I can't explain them all. next is Owlor from Tomas Rydberg. Which was cool.
Owlor.
Yeah, it was cool to see an owl. I don't know where he got the head for this, but what's that?
Owls are his favorite. It's like a spirit animal. I love Tomas, but he, I when he sent that in, I was like, "Yep, makes sense."
I like it.
Yeah,
it's a yeah.
And it was one of the ones that was we kicked around near the top.
Yes. For sure. Next is Ronin.
He could be the top.
That's what I said. I didn't say he wasn't.
Oh, I'm just saying. Okay. Just double check.
They're all the top to me.
The number, whoever won, that one was kicked around near the top, too.
Yep. That's true.
Which might be Owlor.
It might be Owlor. Ronin by Ronan Girton. I hope it's Girton or Girton. I don't know how to say that. I'm sorry.
You know, people, if the people get angry about their last names, I like have no like sympathy for them.
Oh, right.
You know, when your name's spelled like mine, you know, I lost the self-importance to get angry when someone says my name wrong back when I was like 4. So we're trying our best, but you know,
there you go. I still,
bear with us,
and
please.
I still have grown adults that call me Jeremy. I do want to say Ronan, it looks as if he's kind of like a custom as if Ronan himself was a Masters of the Universe character, and he's the Eternian Master of Butt Kicking, and I think that is pretty awesome.
Totally.
We haven't had an Eternian Master of Butt Kicking yet, so the fact that we finally have one is amazing to me. So then there is Midnight by Nathan Girton, who happens to be Ronan's father.
Nice.
In real life. I don't think he is in this. No, he's not.
The story.
What's that?
In this story, he might not be his father.
Yeah, right. he's more of like a, he's wearing like a hoodie. And he's kind of got like some red glasses on, and he's got a sword, and looks like he actually has jeans on too. So it looks like these guys made customs of themselves into Masters of the Universe characters, and I think that's really awesome. Me and Steve did that.
Yeah.
Next is Technor by John McLaren, member of the Horde. God, he's kind of cool, man. With the, he had to really do some cool customizing here, because it's got like Stratos's face under there, but like under Skeletor's hood. So there was some cutting and chopping up for this, but pretty cool stuff. I don't know how to explain him. You know what I mean? Like, how do you explain this stuff? He's wearing tech armor. Got clawed feet, but he's got a beard. Yeah, that did I do it pretty good there, Matt?
he's great. This was one of my dark horses that might have won. He looks like obviously a Horde, and I think his backstory had to do with he was a Horde character, and then he kind of I don't know if he took off or if he was
he worked and created Multibot, and
that was.
Yeah, and Multibot turned on his creator, and yeah. So, yeah, pretty cool backstory there for him. Mm-hmm. Elvos by Mark Johnston. I can see Steve right now.
I love this guy. I love this one. It makes me smile so much.
We got a lot of entries, and some of them were serious, and some of them were, you know, a little more goofy, and you know us, we're goofy, so whenever we got goofy ones sent to us, we were laughing pretty hard. And, yeah, this is definitely one of those. He looks kind of like an elf, but he's got the, the onesie that, or the, yeah, the outfit that, that
the
Elvis,
white suit,
yes,
man.
The white suit.
White suit. Everybody knows what we're talking about here.
You know the one.
And he's got guns on his
hips. Guns on his hips, because you know.
So when he shakes his hips, he's just spraying shots. I mean, I could just see this on, you know, music playing, you know. And he's shooting bullets at the right time to make music. You know, if that makes sense. This is so great.
I wonder if your Podcasters of the Universe fans wonder which one is Steve's favorite.
Yeah. one of my favorite parts about his story was that he uses a huge transport, the pink Battleac.
I'm not saying, because we haven't announced the winner, I'm not saying that this didn't win. But either way, I pulled hard for this one to win. Just so everybody knows.
It was definitely in Steve's top 39.
One. And Steve's top one.
Bright Might by Joshua Even. Essentially a good take on Scareglow. With a cool a shield that had the little ring that like Trapjaw came with and stuff like that, that design on the front there. He's got a club, like a mace. And he's got green. I like the green boots and green undies and stuff. I think he used one of those transforming He-Mans to give us Bright Might here. So
super cool.
Yeah, super cool. Pestilance by Heart Attack Jack. Essentially an evil winged moth character who is Buzz Off the Jerk's evil nemesis. He's got like big red wings and he's mainly black, got red boots, and he's got a big a lance, but like with some hook spikes on there, and he had a glow-in-the-dark feature and all this stuff. So definitely a lot of work put into the idea for Pestilance here.
Pestilance is a really cool entry.
Yeah. Hamor by Anthony Hauziel. I gotta say that Laura was a big fan of Hamor.
I love him.
Yeah, he's a blacksmith. He's essentially got a giant like hammer, but it's like a tech hammer. Like it looks really cool on his left arm, kind of like Fisto. But his outfit, I mean, he looks like a blacksmith, like a really buff blacksmith, and he's got the long beard and long hair, and it's going.
And that's
gray.
Anthony's thing, man.
Yeah,
he loves the whole dwarf blacksmithing. He owns a 3D parts printing thing called the Toy Forge, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is his jam.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Next is Whiskor by Jessica McLaren, which was an evil horde cat, but a male.
Nice.
Yes. She ended up using like Stinkor. But like with Grizzler arms and Beastman legs, and the kicker, the thing that made me laugh, and it was pretty genius, was the tail, the addition of the Stridor tail.
So, yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Now I wonder if this would this character be a friend or a opponent of Catra?
That's a good question. That's a good question, huh?
It doesn't count for the bio.
No, it's in the bio. There's mention of Chief Carnivus and stuff. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, really cool. This is another one that made us laugh. Thicket by Nick Dubes.
We all like Thicket.
We all like Thicket, for the record.
Thicket, I'll tell you what. Thicket is one of the reasons why all of these characters got drawn. Because it was, I believe, one of your earlier entries. And I'm just a fan of the creativity. It's a cool looking figure. It was a female. I'm obviously, you guys know my love for Mossman.
Right. The story is funny too.
The story's pretty funny.
Thick is T H I C C, as in like that thick booty. So, yeah, she's got like an afro, but it's like moss.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
I know. That weapon is actually really, really cool. The it's like a ball of spiked wood attached to a long staff of wood, kind of like a big mace or a club.
So good.
And it looks like he has like a custom like battle cat too, out of moss, flocked it in green. One of my favorite lines in here is, hang on, where is it? Moss Man took one look at that thick booty and fell in love. I died. So, oh my god, yes, please check out these pictures, guys. These are hilarious.
Love it.
Next is Min Max by Andres Rey. The heroic master of infiltration. What's kind of cool about this dude is he's like an evil robot looking. He's not even evil, obviously, because he's heroic, but he's got that angry face, you know. And his faceplate pulls off, and inside, when you open it up, there's a little minifigure in there.
So that really is, that's like, is that who runs the,
yes,
the robot?
Yes. Yeah. And yes. We never had like any like tiny people or anything like that in Masters that I've noticed. Not in the, the group of Masters themselves, not like side characters and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really cool idea. Kind of like driving a mech around, you know, but it's a, human.
Sure.
This one too, and I mean I'm looking at these creations. These guys are phenomenal, and I think that for me with Min-Max, the color scheme, just for some odd reason, it works perfectly. I think the color scheme is great, very Masters, you know, appeal, that has that Masters appeal where when I look at my characters of like Trapjaw, Triclops, Manny Faces, Buzz Off, and you look at all just the different color schemes and how bright they are.
Yeah,
that's kind of where Min-Max hit me.
Yeah, and a lot of the, I guess quote unquote simpler designs on this, like choosing some of those '80s colors thrown together, just those real solid, you know, this color with this color, and that's what you get. Like, definitely sticks out. You guys definitely know your stuff. You've been paying attention over the years.
This one's super cool. I mean, this one is definitely on the short list. We can tell you that.
Yep. Yes. Next is Demonia by Mackenzie Ackerman, which is Curtis Ackerman's daughter. I gotta say, Curtis, man, I love me some Curtis. He's he's very involved with our show, and I love it. He's a really, really cool guy.
Yeah, he's cool, and I think he's always positive. And I think he gets it. I think he gets what we're, you know, what we're going for here, because he embraces it well.
And he's raising his children right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he even, you know, I don't know if he wants me to, you know, divulge this or whatever, but he said, you know, it was really, even if none of them win or whatever, he said it was really nice to get his family together and, like, doing something. They were all sitting down and, you know, working on characters and stuff, so. So that's good. I love that. Demonia, she's actually the sister of Skeletor, and she was supposed to go through the portal in the early mini-comics, but Skeletor went instead. There's, of course, a little bit more story to her, but she's essentially a female Skeletor, in a sense. Really cool. I like the white hair addition hanging out. She's wearing more of, I guess I would say, a dress, because she cosplayed for this one, so.
Yeah.
That was our first cosplay one that we got, so I really dug that one.
You know what I like about this?
Hmm.
It's not just, this is a female Skeletor. This is a female, I mean, it is a kind of a female Skeletor, but it's not supposed to be Skeletor as a female. It's his sister. It's a new character.
Yes.
You know, right. Adds, you know, and I think that I like it when that stuff is done.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yep, for sure. Next is Lazare. I hope I'm saying that right. This is from Darla Ackerman, which is Curtis's wife.
Even got his wife involved?
she became a Patreon supporter because of this stuff.
Nice.
So, yes. So.
You didn't tell me.
I know. Well, I listened to My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me. I figured it was pointless.
Now, from what I can tell, she drew that, didn't she?
Yes. As far as I can tell, yes.
She's a good artist.
For sure. Because you see her hanging out with Granimir there. And she's kind of a... she's got more of a barbarian look. Yeah. Really cool. What is that staff? I've seen that staff before that she's holding. I feel like that was in She-Ra somewhere. For classics, at least.
Oh, really?
I can't tell, though.
Oh, I think it's very reminiscent of one of the Princesses of Power staffs. I can't think of who it was.
Yeah. But yeah, she's pretty cool. She was a sorceress, and she specializes in fire spells, so I kind of dig that stuff, too. Some magic in there. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
Next, okay, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'm going to try, okay? This is from Ty Ackerman, who is Curtis's son. So this is the the fourth member of the family. Although Curtis didn't enter one, as far as I remember here. So, Tezorogun.
Yeah.
Tezorogun. And this was a character that basically could turn into three different forms. And it's like a reincarnation of Dragoon from the future. So it's like this whole cool story behind it, and basically one sort of looks like Dragoon as Orko, and one is more like, what's that middle one? Kind of, I don't know, that one.
It's an evolution.
Yeah,
it's its own character.
Right. And then the or maybe that's Azrog, maybe. Somewhere in there. I honestly don't know how he looks off the top of my head. So, and then of course the big one is basically like Dragoon in like Skeletor armor, and I like this. It definitely has Filmation lore all over it. So,
yes, very perfect. True.
Yeah, amazing. Curtis, I'm so glad your family got in on this. That's great.
Super cool.
Next is Battle Armor Faker by Ingar Håkansson. Oh, I hope I said that right. Very, very cool take on a Filmation Faker. Much different looking than any other Faker, other than, you know, of course, his face. I don't know how I would explain it. Lots of little tech stuff. Is that armor? Was that from Skeletor? From New Adventures Skeletor from Classics?
That's what it seems like, the shape of the skull in the center.
Mm-hmm. And then, lots of like neat little... he did it, I believe, with paint designs on the boots and stuff like that. So he's looking really cool. He's got like the sorcerer's staff there and a interesting like mace, which, God, that is pretty cool. Sorry, I just got lost in the art for the.
I really like this one. The custom figure, that this guy did is fantastic. It was very well done.
Yep, absolutely. Next is Shieldor by Clarence Wong. He's a distant cousin of the Rock People, and he has near unbreakable quantum skin. He can stand against energy, weapons, and explosive projectiles. So this guy was basically like Blast Attack, and him would kind of go head to head, I would think, you know?
It's like,
especially with the drawing he sent.
The unstoppable force meets the immovable
object.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. I like his, obviously a really good artist, so I really like the pencil artwork there that he sent in. Or at least looks like pencil artwork. I don't know, digital stuff these days, right?
Yeah.
Very well thought out character.
Yeah, I thought this was cool.
Yep.
A lot, you know.
Ooh.
That one could have won, right, Steven?
You never know. Next is Teslor by Bo Chappell. And this one, to me, is very unique. You can see he put a description of like using like a Zodak arm, Roboto arm, optic body, hero feet, cyclone boots, Vicor loincloth. Like he, a bunch of reuse of stuff, but he put like a new head and
he gives a recipe so you could actually how they would actually build this stuff.
Yes. And of course he's got the antenna like coming out his back there. I don't know if those would be antennas or like conductors or something. But you know, he's got the electricity going across it in between the two, and he's got the staff made of electricity with the ability to either shoot or control electricity, I would assume there. And then of course the chest thing, like What are those things called when you touch them and the electricity comes to the edge and touches your finger? You know what I'm talking about? Those globes. To me, that's what that looks like to me. Anyway. Like, what's that?
Yeah. I don't know if it's called a Tesla coil but it's like one of those globe-sized balls that it has the electricity all going through it, and then when you put your fingertips on it, it like goes to your fingers.
Yeah. Now, if they could actually harness that action feature into a figure, that would become my favorite figure of all time. Just to do that.
When I was sketching this one, after I looked at it, it reminded me of like if you one of those, I don't know if it's Brave Star or Black Star, one of those villains that like has like the spark feature, you know?
Yeah.
And I picture this one would have that spark feature.
Man, this one is. This one could be the winner. We don't know.
He definitely would have used the spark feature better than Sorod.
Yes, correct.
Which that was just kind of thrown in. So he didn't even do that in the movie. All right, thanks, Bo. Another one that made me laugh. Dolph Finn by Paul Guyton. Yeah. It's okay, guys. It's essentially like a dolphin character, but he looks like Dolph Lundgren's version of He-Man, the movie He-Man.
Yes.
So he's a dolphin, but he's got, you know, the hair and the armor, except the shoulder pads they look like fish.
The great thing about this one is that if you are a fan of Masters and you were to just put this picture up, you get it.
Yeah, right.
This is one you just get.
And for sure.
There's a little note in the corner which really made me laugh. It says his alter ego is Prince Flipper. Unfortunately, Dolphin never transforms into Prince Flipper in the motion picture. He's got a tune in that weapon. His action feature would have been if you pushed a button on his back, he shoots water out of his blowhole. So. Yes, that one made me
good
laugh.
Good stuff.
You guys, good it's stuff. Like you guys get us. And. Okay. Then we have like a this is Ban by Paul Nichols. Ban and his Nath. Basically, what it comes down to is his name is Ben, But they're if you do it in a southern accent, it's Ban. B-A-Y-U-N. Ban. Ban.
Hey, Ban.
And he's got, his weapon is a knife. K-N-A-F-F.
Dude, I love that.
Dude, I'm telling you, when I read this whole thing, I was just dying. It's a funny little backstory. And,
Ban.
Yeah.
Ban. Oh, yeah.
Specifically, I would say it was Alabama. He made sure it was Alabama. So, this made me laugh. He's got the look sort of like Rio Blast in the face, or maybe even Duncan. But he's definitely got that mustache kicking.
Got that mustache.
Yeah. So, oh my God, you guys are hilarious. That's. There was a big B on his chest. The Alabamans noticed he was super buff compared to the average dude and was super strong. They also noticed a big B on his chest and named him Ben. Since their accents were so thick, the Eternian thought they were saying Ban. So that's his name. I mean, just, where do you come up with this?
Genius stuff. I love it.
Next is Shreddor by Dennis Smith, and this is he gave credit to his daughter Jordan for doing the artwork for him. It's essentially like if Shredder from the Ninja Turtles was brought into the Masters of the Universe.
This one might win.
It might.
And with his bare chest, like, he looks like he could have been a good wrestler, like a cool wrestler. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With the purple undies. And it's so funny. You guys are awesome. So, yes, Shreddor. Rakor by Matt Rexer.
Now, this one.
He said, hopefully, this is the dumbest entry you'll get.
But it's actually pretty good.
I know, right? It's like, I don't think any of these are dumb.
Is he calling me dumb for liking this game? Because
maybe.
I think this one's fantastic.
Yeah. It's basically, he's the heroic master of weapon organization. It's basically the rack from Castle Grayskull.
Yeah,
the Mega Constructs one he used, and, except it's like, it's.
Imagine the Fantasia when Mickey Mouse brings the mops to life and stuff.
Yes,
this would be like what that happened to the weapons rack.
Yes, great way to describe it.
I gotta read just a second of this. It's like. He says, while completely incapable of any offensive or defensive maneuvers, Rakor never failed to provide a hero his weapon of choice. Should that hero happen to wander down the obscure castle hallway where he resided? So it's just like he wants to be like a heroic warrior. He's just waiting for someone to come find him.
And his greatest offensive move is handing someone a weapon.
Right.
Yeah.
And it says, though unlikely to ever meet Rakor, relish the thought of single combat with his arch-rival, Wolfhead Microphone. You know what I'm saying? God, you guys are good. This one could win. It could win. Next, Evil...
Even if it didn't, we might change
right,
it.
Right, right. Evil Fist by RBL3D. Which is an evil sorcerer with demon grip. This dude is very unique, I think. He's got like the big hand idea, but it looks like it would have been more for a demon, you know, gripping stuff rather than punching. Cool design on there. Looks like there's like a squid or some sort of design on the fist itself. But he's, you know, big arm, robotic right arm, it looks like, and he even kind of has like a vest, like a Prince Adam sort of vest almost, and just looks really cool. Yellow skin, it's nice to see a man with yellow skin. I don't think we have any of those, so and of course
I want
more about this guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This art is
great. Again, color scheme, check. Action feature, check. This guy's
right because you can
check in all the
yeah. You
boxes.
Use a lever on his back, and it says that you raise his demonic arm and eject the armor. So he's like got a demonic arm underneath there. So yeah, pretty cool.
Sweet.
Good win. Pit Viper.
I think
by Tom Brisky.
Tom's an Pit Viper's cool.
Can we just say that Tom is an amazing artist, and he's also really he's fun to hang artist. Out with.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and this is pretty freaking cool. It's a four-armed snake man, which is we don't have any four-armed characters. So, well, except you know, was it Procrustes? Didn't he have four arms?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't have him, so don't have him.
Yes.
So.
Definitely has four arms.
Yeah.
I thought this one was cool. I was like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, this one's cool.
No, I mean, I really liked it. Really, it. I was struggling.
Yeah, this he would fit in really well with our snake men. Kind of has like spikes on his head and I can't really explain. He's brownish. Once again, look at our social media.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to put all these pictures up, right?
Yeah, they're already up, yeah. So
already up. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, while you're listening.
And look at them.
Yeah, check these out. next is Snapper by Troy Sandwith. And essentially, he's a giant snapping turtle who would have the effect if you pushed on his, or the action feature, if you pushed a button, his head would pop out and his jaw would snap. Which I think is really cool.
Super cool. That seems like... It seems like if I think hard enough, I could remember having a figure like that.
Right.
That it fits so well with...
Yes.
With that stuff, which is why this one could be the winner.
It very well could be, yes.
Along with every other one we talked about.
I love it. People are like, oh, he said it about mine! No. But yeah, I'm a sucker for turtle stuff anyway. So, and the fact that they never actually did any sort of like turtle creature at all, kind of, you know, they missed the mark. Same thing with the koala. So, and dolphin, and a rack. So yeah, I mean, huge dude, Castle Grayskull weapon, like that big spear or axe or whatever. I like the idea of the snapping mouth, though. So, and a snapping alligator turtle, alligator snapping turtle specifically. Next is Trakor, Trak-OR by Eman333. Intergalactic bounty hunter, and he worked for Karg and helped Zodak and the Cosmic Enforcers. His shield has the mystic ability to blind his prey. Yeah, it's another custom put together figure. Looks like his weapon is that the gray mace from the Grayskull and Mossman have one similar to that?
I think so.
Yeah, I think actually, yeah, Mossman's for sure. Beastman armor on the arms and Triclops armor for the chest. And it looks like that head from one of the wrestler guys. I forget his name. We have him, though. One of the origin wrestler dudes. What you doing there, Matt? I don't know if you're trying to show me something. I was looking down.
Oh, sorry. It is a wrestler dude.
It's Finn Balor,
there you go.
I think.
Finn Balor.
Okay. So, yeah. Trakor, really cool. I like the ability to blind people.
Totally.
I do it all the time just by smiling. next is another funny one, Metallicor by Jono.
Yeah.
and I want to say that he mentioned that Metallicor and Selyse were a dynamic double act. touring around Eternia and Etheria, spreading joy through their songs.
He's tugging at your heartstrings.
Yeah, I mean, he's really trying. He's like, well, Jeremy likes Elise, so there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, the entire story for this is freaking hilarious. You guys have to read this. Please do. It's a rather long one, but it is pretty hilarious. especially in the end, where Metallicore now lives alone, writing emo. Though all may not be lost, since Celeste discovered that her singing stopped Yogg from committing heinous acts, she hopes that her beautiful lullabies can stop Metallicore from making bad life choices. And then they once again tour the lands together. I mean, this dude, he looks like an aging rocker. He's got the flying V guitar, he's got the skullet going on, you know, it's bald on top, long and back, like Matt's going to go for eventually.
Yeah!
It looks like the short, you know, the short shorts.
He is mad.
Yeah, the jean
getting
vest.
More and more mad every second.
The jean I jacket love that. Vest, the guitar cable, smoking the cigarette.
And then I love the fact that his belt buckle is Orko's head.
Yes! Wow, when I looked at that, it actually looked like a snake mouth. But now that you say that, yeah, that's the Orko's head.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, this one could win.
Yeah, there definitely could be the winner.
He knew we liked Metallica, too, so.
Yes, he's getting both of our yeah. heartstrings in with that.
Next one is The Shadow Sorceress. Evil Guardian of Snake Mountain by Sophia Haynes, age 4, guys. Age 4.
What?
Richard Haynes' daughter. So
I wasn't even potty trained at age 4.
I know, I'm still not. So this, oh god. The sister of the sorceress of Castle Grayskull. So it turned sour when their relationship turned sour when the Sword of Power was given to Prince Adam. She never forgave her sister. So,
wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool. From what I see here, she is essentially wearing black, or they are black, like, it's kind of like the sorceress, but black, with gray headdress, and I'm not sure what the weapon is exactly.
It's cool but looking,
it looks,
though.
Yeah, it could be like an axe of sorts or something like that. So, really cool. Can't believe we had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
I think this one could win.
Yeah, it could. Next, Richard actually entered, and he put in Hornetor, Evil Master of Stings. And if you were to guess, yes, he is like an evil counterpart to Buzz Off, which is the second one we've had on this list, which, I mean, we don't mean to sway you guys to not like Buzz Off. He's just a jerk. I mean, well, you can't...
He's a jerk.
You can love Buzz Off, even though he's a jerk.
Oh, I love him. I don't like him, but I love him.
You see him at Christmas and put up with him, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's like family, but, yeah. You know. Like, he's really like the one guy that's like, hey, you're one of the Masters of the Universe? Yeah. You know my friend Buzzoff? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hey,
I know him. I know him. Yeah.
I mean, don't judge us all by Buzzoff. It's kind of one of those things.
Do you think that... the other, it's Andrenid, right?
Yes.
The other Andrenids, do you think that they get that a lot where, like, their representation of their race to everyone else is Buzz Off and they're like, come on!
Yeah. Like, right, because he's the chosen one, so everybody just assumes they're all like Buzz Off?
Yeah, they're like, they assume they're
are they
the
all
whole
jerks?
City.
He's our leader, but, you know, don't judge us all by him.
Exactly.
Right.
So he's essentially a hornet rather than a bee. He's got more like fur around him, on his shoulders and like on his chest, and the head is more hornet looking. And yeah, he's really cool. I love his look. I love Buzzoff's look, though, too. So, I mean, what can I say? Hopefully this guy isn't that much of a jerk. He could win.
Yeah. He does win.
I can't forget Isabel Haynes, who is age 7, who put in Rico, the evil wizard of smell spells.
Wow.
Rico has a distant cousin whose name is Orko, and got their spells mixed up one day and accidentally teleported Rico from his home planet to Eternia. And I gotta tell you, he's got gas powers.
Nice! I think he's very creative.
That's the name Rico.
I love Rico.
He's kind of like a purple Skeletor. It looks like he might have like spikes on his arms and stuff. And he's just dropping stink out of his arms, of his hands, I should say. I like the kind of crooked, crumply hat. This is pretty funny.
Great.
The evil wizard of smell spells. I remember when we showed this to Matt, he says, who doesn't love a girl? I always love a good fart joke, so.
I opened this picture that this kid drew, and I was like, this one might win.
Yeah. Some of these just make me laugh. And it's just, it's awesome, too. I mean, even if you're serious, I mean, we know how that works with Stinkor, right? If you stink up the room.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you open up this picture, and if we're going to talk about a Motu contest and the characters that came out in the 80s, I look at this and I'm like, this one might have been made by somebody at Mattel. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. There's a lot of these like that, let's be honest. But kids, they have such a good way of showing us things from their little kid mind. We're all jaded and old. Next is Beast Row by Sandusky Washington III.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you froze. I'm looking and I just saw, like, your face was frozen. I'm like, uh-oh, am I alone?
No, I was waiting for you just to speak.
Nope. Beast Row. Basically, if he eats food, he turns into creatures. So, it shows a picture of him kind of transforming. He's like got this kind of angry look, and he's chewing on some meat there and turns into a big, vile demon.
The art on this one's pretty good.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I wonder who this is.
Yeah. I like the last name, too. Lawit. Instead of DeWitt. Lawit. Huh? It's pretty good. Of the character, that's Bistro's real name, Jean-Luc Lawit.
This one is, yeah.
Yeah.
This one might win.
This art is phenomenal.
It is. It's very
and
good.
The story is pretty funny, too. Which, I mean, you look at the picture and you go, wow. That's gonna be some, and you start laughing when you read this. So, it's a pretty cool idea. So, thanks, Sandusky Washington III. Next,
thank you.
Next is Mathor by Matthew Carlson. Matthew Carlson, who won, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, he won the original contest that we had. And we know he likes Stratos. But here he's got Mathor, which he cosplayed. He's the Eternian sawmill worker.
Yes.
He worked in a small sawmill, picked up a piece of lumber, broke in his hands, and it appeared in the shape of a spear. And the story goes on from there. It's just ridiculous and funny. I love it. It's essentially Matt just standing there, Matthew Carlson, with a big broken spear. I have a feeling this just happened, and he's like, wait, take a picture of me. I love it, though. I love it.
It's perfect.
Yeah, made me laugh anyway. This guy could win. He could win.
He totally could. We tried. I tried. Yes.
Next.
I don't know if I succeeded or not. I can't tell you yet.
Next is Triceratore by Brian and Chase Wilkins.
Yeah, this one's good.
Yeah, this was a fun little father and son collab, and the father drew it, and it's pretty amazing. The artwork is phenomenal, by the way. This totally could also fit into my love for Ninja Turtles. It kind of reminds me of like the Triceratons, but this is more of like a barbaric, you know. He's got double axes and like fur and stuff like that, and oh, so good. This should have been a Masters figure. So
yeah, that one's pretty cool.
You all right, Matt?
Yeah, I'm deep. I'm deep in this.
It's hard not to be. I'm telling you, like, looking at some of this stuff, you're just like, oh my god, like, people are so much better than me. and we have, I think we have a couple more here. Skelevator by Ronald Zurigian. He also goes by Skelevator. That's his name. So, Ronald. Essentially, and I bet you guys could guess who are listening, it is a crossover between Skeletor and Darth Vader, with a like the skull face peeking out with the helmet for Darth Vader, and a mix of some of the chest armor together, and his Havoc staff. It has the ram horns, but it has the stormtrooper head mask on their helmet. I don't know. I think this guy's pretty cool looking. He's a great crossover mashup. So
yeah, it works for sure.
Yes. If this isn't a custom action figure, someone should jump on that right now. So. And I think it's pronounced Digit. I'm gonna say Digit. D-I-G-E-T by Matthew and Aubriana Duch. We know Matthew Duch.
We do.
Thanks for hooking us up with Scare Glow, by the way, buddy.
Yes.
He's the heroic master of
Dig It.
He's the Can You Dig It? It's the heroic master of tunneling. The art was done by Aubriana, and the bio was done by Matthew. So, Matt, you still there?
Sorry, I just had somebody try to call in. I deleted it, though.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, man, we got to pause it again. Nope. He's basically a gopher-like creature. He's, I believe, has four arms. Either that or that's action, but I believe that's four arms. He's got digging claw arms, and there's like a shovel and a pickaxe. And this also kind of harkens back to my Ninja Turtle days of Dirtbag. So... I like it. Four arms. I dig the four arm thing. I'm telling you. So that's it. That's all of them.
That's it.
Now, Dig It. What I like to say about him is I think that I just love his name.
Yeah. Sorry. Right?
It reminds me of the Macho Man. Like after he says something, he says, "Dig it."
Is that what he says? Wow.
Macho Man said that.
Yeah, so did he say dig it?
He'd say something, ooh, dig it.
Maybe I didn't know that he actually said dig it. Maybe I just thought he was making noises.
Yeah, can you dig it?
Okay, so that, I believe, unless I missed somebody, that was all 39 entries. Thank you so much, every single one of you. Seriously. This was super hard for us to do, but we had to whittle it down to three. Three. So, I guess we should probably go backwards and count up from three, right?
Yep.
This is hard.
I think that's the way to do
it. And if, like I said, if you guys are mad, blame Matt. It was his fault. No. You guys wouldn't be mad. Guys. So, the third one. Am I right? Is it the one that starts with? Is it the?
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Coming in at number three is Pestilence. Lance.
Pestilence.
Yes. We want to talk about why we chose Pestilence.
Well, yeah, actually, what did you guys like base your choices on, or should we just do this with each individual figure, cause, or character? Because
it would take long, but I mean, as far as Pestilence goes, for me, it fit so well with MOTU. It was a creature character. It had a rival. It had the action feature, the glow in the dark. It was a flyer. Like, I lined up everything with Pestilence, where it's like Fisto Jitsu, you know, He-Man Skeletor. You had all these, like, the rival side of things. And I just think that it hit all of the right boxes for me. And then on top of that, the color scheme was phenomenal. So I had to give it a vote.
Steven.
I loved the name, and I know that probably shouldn't wait.
No, that was super... that was a big factor in one of the reasons why I like it. It's a really clever name.
You know, and I thought that I just thought it was you know, a flying character, a pest. I just the design was good. It fit. I could see this thing being on the shelves. I mean, there's a few of them out there. I mean, we're going to keep saying this, but this was hard. There was a lot of...
It was really hard.
This could have went a lot of different ways, but we had to make some decisions. And this, you know... But yeah, I think it belongs in third. I think it belongs where in this, you know, in the top three.
Yes.
Matthew?
I was just going to say, I think I can speak for all of us in saying that, like, we all think and know that there were, in our heads, multiple winners that could have been chosen for first. And I could say that we all had to sort of humble our, maybe, I don't know if it's our personal opinion or our personal, like, favorites per se, to be like, you know what, I have to set my own wants and desires aside for the greater good of the contest.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we could easily still be arguing about this.
For sure. when I looked at all of the entries, I wanted ones that jumped out right at me. And it wasn't necessarily the presentation. It was just sort of the overall thing. Like, of course, the artwork is really good for this one. But it was the idea of the color scheme. I really thought that stuck out. The name really stuck out. Was this going to be a playable, you know, figure? Like, does this fit in the world of Masters of the Universe? Like, could he just show up on the cartoon and people would be like, yes, of course. I mean, it's a moth. Nobody's done, you know, who would think of doing a moth? You know what I'm saying? Plus, I'm a sucker for translucent red wings, so.
You would have bought this figure if you walked through the aisle.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep. And, The addition of, you know, a new weapon, a lance, and like a, you know, Pestilence. Come on, that's just smart. And then adding the glow in the dark thing too. I mean, the lance, the moon on his chest, and then the highlights around his eyes, you know, all the glow in the dark. So yeah, I dig it.
Yeah. Dig it.
So Heart Attack Jack, I will reach out to you. You can reach out to me, whichever happens first. It doesn't matter as long as we reach out to each other. And I'll get your address, and we're going to send you some stuff.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations, Heart Attack Jack. I'm trying to find our second so I can make sure I do this. Who was this anyone? Somebody? Who was the second one? Oh, I remember now. Okay. I have to make sure I don't mess this up. Okay. Coming in at number two, Snappor by Troy Sandwith. Yay!
Snappor!
Yeah.
Snappor.
Steven, why Snappor?
Honestly, the snapping jaw gimmick just spoke to me. You know, it's just very MOTU. It's very, like, why not? You know, I mean, we've got Trap Jaw that has a jaw action feature, but we tend to, you know, repeat ourselves in Masters of the Universe. You've got Snout Spout and you've got Cobra Khan. They both spray water.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've got Fisto, you've got Jitsu. You've got, you know, so why not have a, in the essence of, you know, Clawful's Claw and maybe, you know, have this snapping jaw.
Yes.
Again.
I agree.
It fits. And the look of the figure is great. The design of the figure is great. The name works. It just, I guess when we briefly spoke about what was our criteria or what, how did we judge this thing, there were a couple of different ways. And I think all of us said, you know, which figures could we, or which designs could we see actually have been made.
Right. And when we were kids, if we had seen these figures on the shelves, would they, you know, jump out at us? Would we grab them? And something like that, snapping feature, of course, you know, we don't have reptiles, and or, other than snakes, of course, but it's nice to have a big, beefy, you know, spike shell and just that whole idea. What do they call it? You know, is it toyetic? As they say, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. This would have been a great toy to play with.
Matthew?
I love it.
All right.
It took me a hot minute. Just as far as, and again, this isn't a knock on anyone's design abilities or artistic abilities, but I will say this was one that he drew a couple different angles of it, and it's not like badly drawn. It's just we had some that were just drawn so well and like just the level of artistry. So this one, it took me a second because I was looking at the pictures. It was just an average, kind of an average drawing of, you know, profile of, and you put them up on your website. So profile of the snapping turtle and then a front view and a side view and all this stuff. And then the written description. And I kind of had to marinate and chew on it a little bit. And once I started doing that more and thinking about it again in the world of MOTU, that's when it really started just kind of raising the ranks of kind of my sort of list of faves that I didn't have to, or I didn't want to just throw it aside because the art was maybe not as, you know, wonderfully done as some of the other ones. So
right,
and we said that from the beginning that this wasn't going to be an art contest.
Right,
this was going to be a design contest, and we're thankful for all the people who gave us cool art. You know, sweet,
phenomenal. Yeah,
we appreciate it. You know, but that you know, this is more about the idea than the art.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And even, you know, even in the name. I mean, yeah, it's easy to, like, you know, I remember when I came up with my character a couple years ago or whatever it was, I was Jarrah Moore. You know, I just threw OR on the end. But, and a lot of people do that. They'll just throw the OR on the end because it's kind of fun. But Snappor, like, it actually fits. Like, you know, Snappor, like, it would have been perfect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and this was, like Matt was kind of saying, is a prime example of, you know, I don't want to say lower quality art, but simpler art as opposed to more involved art, still being able to sort of get that idea across. And then, you know, it did absolutely help when Matt drew up every single figure, you know, character and put them all in the same style. And we're like, okay, now it's starting to kick in, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's hard to take all these and all the different, you know, ways that people presented them and try to compare them to each other is mind-blowingly more difficult than I expected.
Yes, it was not easy. I keep telling people, like, hey, how's it going with the content? Listen, it's really not easy. So, yeah, phenomenal. Man, that gives us just one more spot.
Yeah, this is the big kahuna.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't mean to cut you off. Did you want to, before the big kahuna, did you want each of us to do an honorable mention, or did you want to do that afterwards?
No, that's, yeah, why not? That's fine. Some honorable mentions would be good.
Because, I didn't know if you wanted, we can do honorable mentions directly, you know, after, or...
No.
Let's do it right now. Let's drag this out.
As long as we can.
Yeah. Let's beat this dead horse. It's not dead yet. I'll start. Elvis is amazing. I wanted Elvis from the start. I'm like, okay, I think that's my winner. You know, I just wanted, so, you know, obviously we're going to say here, obviously Elvis didn't make it because I'm talking about it right now. But he was definitely in the top. It makes me smile every time I look at that character. I do feel that it maybe, you know, it belongs a little bit more in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle kind of realm than it does in Masters. But heck, we got a cowboy in Masters of the Universe. Why can't we have an Elvis with some guns on his hips?
that was definitely one that made me laugh. And the more I read the story and the more your enthusiasm for it came across, it definitely made it hard to not choose him.
Like, I made a case to try to get him to win.
Yes.
you made one case? You made several cases.
But I do think that we made the right choice ultimately.
Yes, yep.
And this is where it comes down to putting your personal, you know, it strikes a nerve with me, but does it really, really, is it the most fitting to win, you know, then I had to concede to these two guys on this one. So, Matt, what's yours?
Thicket.
Thicket.
I have to go with Thicket. I got to get Moss's girl some props. Love the custom action figure. Love the reuse of the Tila body. Love the fro. And I love the Moss. And I fought for Thicket. It goes back to the originality side of things where I had to, again, concede myself was that, you know, Jeremy and Steven and myself, whenever we'd kind of throw out ideas to each other, we would have to be, you know, honest and realistic about it. And the one thing was, is that, I mean, is it kind of a female Moss Man? Sort of. And so in that sense, when Jeremy mentioned that to me, I had to let myself know, you know what? Yeah, that there's some truth to that, that, you know, some of them that I liked a lot, the originality per se of it didn't quite hit the nail on the head that some of the other ones did, where her being a female Moss Man, I had to concede in that sense and put her on my fan favorite list.
Yes.
All right.
We all did that, and that bio just, I died. Like, it's really, really funny. So, my choice, I guess, probably would have been Owlor.
Yeah.
From Tomas.
Owlor was cool.
Yeah. I like the idea of an owl. I liked his colors, the white boots and undies with that sort of brownish, like an orangish brown, but it's more brown, you know, the feathers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I just really dig the idea of like an owl character. So, and the story was really good too. So,
super cool.
Yeah. So.
Super.
Yeah.
No, we liked it. We liked the design. That was just that's a fun one, and it makes sense. That's another one that, you know, it isn't out of the realm of believability that one could have been made as well.
Absolutely, yeah. When I look at it, I go, oh yeah, I mean, that's a Masters character. That's totally a Masters character. So,
all right. Which brings us.
Yeah.
Are you done?
No. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Brings us to our winner. I want to say that what we did here is we all kind of submitted a top five in the end here, and we looked at this, and every single one of us had this one on our list. So we go, well, it might not have been my first one on the list, but we all have it, so that must mean something.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
This has got to be the winner.
That's the song we're going to keep on the album. We all agree that that song is a good one. So, the winner of our 3-year anniversary contest and the winner of the big pile of origins and random stuff that we're going to send out goes to... Min-Max by Andrus Ray. Min-Max.
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 Min-Max was... It's without a doubt... It's a Masters figure. It
should be a Masters
figure. It would have been a very creative Masters figure.
Absolutely.
But I still see it as being something that would have been done, and the design is cool, and the idea of a minifigure, which I just could see this. I could see this figure being the figure that, yeah, you can find it pretty easy, but you can't find that little figure.
Right, yeah. The figure, it's the little minifigure is going for $200, but like the bodies are going for $7. Just
it's like the Buzzsaw for Buzzsaw Hordak.
Yes, yes. Yep. And that was a big thing for me. The color choice, obviously, like Matt was saying earlier, and the idea of I like the idea of kind of having like a mech and stuff like that, a little mini figure. You know, he's a little guy that could get into spaces that others couldn't, you know, and I don't know. I love it. And even, you know, they could even, in story-wise, you know, maybe he can have multiple bodies or something like that. This is just where my brain goes, but I don't know. It felt very Masters to me.
I just kept coming back to it also. It was one of those that loved the color scheme, loved the action sort of feature about it, and it had never been done before. So, you know, in that later wave of Masters figures and Rio Blast and Snout Spout, I could picture that next wave having Min-Max in it.
Oh, yeah. The 88 year.
Yes.
The 88 year would have I could see this being a figure in that wave easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. They could, it would have kept the line going. he put a good story with it, and, you know, even getting down to the mini comic that tells his story, you know, being called Size Matters, stuff like that. Like, it just all kind of fit. Like, I felt this character. So, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, we got to say thank you to everybody who entered this thing and took the time to do an entry, and, it's pretty cool to be able to pull off a competition like this and have that much participation. I mean, you know, we're a little podcast. We've got, you know, with some listenership, but you don't expect that kind of a turnout for this. And we were pretty humbled, although it did make us have to hurt our brains a little bit.
Yeah, we'll never be doing a create a character contest again because of it.
We thought it was going to be
fun. Yeah, they were like,
and it was.
It was absolutely fun. Yeah, and like I said, I look through all these pictures, every single one, and I'm like, yeah, that would work, you know? God, you guys did a phenomenal job. And it, I don't know, it's really awesome. Baleen Brawler, Koalar.
I was about to just say Baleen Brawler, no joke. Baleen Brawler.
Dolphin. I mean, these are funny and just smart and, I don't know, really awesome, man. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. You guys, the winners, please reach out to the same email, or I'll reach out to you. Maybe I'll reach out to them. No, you know what? They can listen to the episode and find out who won. Then reach out to me. Then I'll know you listen to the episode.
So. Yeah, because if you don't listen to the episode, we're changing.
Yeah, we're going to change it.
I'm just kidding.
So. There it is.
Yeah. Put that one in the books.
Heck yeah.
put it in the books.
How long have we been recording?
I have no idea.
I have to bounce. I don't mean to cut you guys off.
No, we were just gonna. I didn't even know if we might have even been heading towards a close.
Okay. I just making sure.
Did you want to do figures before we go, Jeremy?
I'm okay if you want to talk about figures and stuff. If Matt's got to go, that's fine.
Okay.
We can just watch his wife's toy reviews and find out what he thinks about them through her.
All right. Cool. All right, Matt. Well, thanks for
you guys.
Thanks for helping us out, Matt.
Yeah, no problem. I got to go take care of some kids and some family stuff. So I appreciate you guys letting me be involved in this. Obviously, you guys know I love to be creative, and your fans are awesome. And thanks for having me. And I will see you guys soon. Hopefully, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you, man. See you.
For sure.
Bye, everybody.
All right. And then there were two.
And then there were two. Man.
So.
Yeah.
We should probably start with a big kahuna.
Let's do it. We've been talking about it through other people, but now we actually have been able to sit down, assemble, and play, and have a good old time.
Yep. Of course, we're talking about Snake Mountain here. At this point, I know we're a little late to the game. People have been putting their opinions out there. I got to say that, you know, this is an easy one for me. We've all seen the pictures. We all seen what it looked like. We all had what we expected from Super 7. And I remember in the early days, it was kind of a, can Super 7 pull this off? Because Super 7, let's face it, had some shaky times.
Yes.
Yep. Had a few things in the beginning. Had to get their feet under them. Took a little longer than I thought. But, you know, they started pumping it out right there at the end with Masters of the Universe. And they started to do great, great stuff. And, you know, especially right there at the end when they did the...
like the movie figures and stuff?
The movie figures. I was trying to think of what they called that. The William Stout collection figures. That's when they really was like, whoa. They're, you know, at the end when they're ramping this down, unfortunately, is when they're like, yeah.
And, they were really hitting their stride, man.
They're really hitting their stride, and they've been continuing to hit their stride because I'm collecting the Ninja Turtles figures and the Thundercats stuff, and they're showing with that stuff what could have been if they could continue on with the classics.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is it could be great. If they could just keep going.
Yeah, I hope they're able to kind of play in that sandbox again one of these days, because, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, Snake Mountain was ordered a long time ago, and that was kind of before all that stuff, those figures came out. And so it was kind of a little bit of a, what are we going to get with Snake Mountain?
Yes.
Is it going to come and be all shiny and glossy and weird, or is it, you know, is it gonna
is stuff gonna break off right away? Are things gonna come to us broken?
Yes. Is the size gonna be right? Is the dimensions gonna be, the paint apps gonna be right? And so, you know, I took the idea that, you know, if it's great, I'm not gonna have missed this. So me and Jeremy both took the leap. We ordered this sucker based on, you know, basing it off Four Horsemen and Nate Barch design and all of that. You know, it can look, it
had all the right ingredients,
And we saw the prototype at PowerCon.
Yeah.
Twice, I think. Yeah. Didn't we? It was there both years we were there, I think. And so, long story short, we got it. The box is beautiful. The box art is beautiful.
Oh, my God, yes. it came shipped very, very safely, which was awesome. It's like a box in a box in a box.
Yep.
Yeah, that...
Had these plastic corner things.
Yeah.
So the corners couldn't get banged up. And when you pull it out and you put the sucker together, it looks exactly like what I thought it should look like.
I agree. Every aspect of it. It looks phenomenal. It was easy to assemble. Actually, there was one spot on there I think I had to shave down a little bit. And I want to say it had to do with the wolf part. Like, because it's got that opening. It has, like, a clasp. You know, you can open it and store weapons in it, like it says.
Yes.
Yes. I could not get that to get in the hole very well. So I actually had to kind of shave it down to fit into the hole a little bit. So,
okay.
But that, I mean, to me, it was like, I've done that with other things before. I had to do that with a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man statue once, too. You know, sometimes plastic settles and it just doesn't quite fit, so. But other than that, I mean, every single piece on that thing is so cool.
Yeah.
That throne.
Yep.
Talk about that Skeletor's throne.
Like, I'm not even displaying that in my Snake Mountain. That's like in my case with Skeletor sitting
right
in it, because it's so beautiful. Yes. The Bone Throne itself was worth $600. No, I don't know about that. But
yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth a hefty chunk of that. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
You know, $100 or something. I mean, it's just phenomenal the way it looks, the paint on it, the sculpt. I mean, it's perfect for any Skeletor that you have.
Yeah, but I will say the Filmation one looks best.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. It looks pretty damn good.
Just in my opinion. But, yeah, I really don't have anything. And I will say that I did not expect... Now, yours is probably down in your basement.
Yes, yeah.
Right. So mine's not, I've kind of got one of these half basements where my lower level's like three blocks down in the ground, but I have windows is what I'm getting at. I don't know if you're catching this a lot with yours, Jeremy, because of where it's at, but that lava picks up light really well.
Oh.
If you've got a window and it just, the lava effect really just, it lights up. There's no light there, but if you give it a light source at all, and then if you actually put a light source behind it, it really, really, really works, and you can get in some situations where it just really looks like that lava's like almost lit up, and it's very cool.
Oh, that's awesome! I'll have to put like I saw that you had like done a picture and stuff. I'm gonna have to end up putting like a battery operated candle behind it or something, you know, and
yeah,
you know, show it off yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I put a real candle behind it, not directly behind it, so that the heat would come up and hit the floor that's above it and melted. It was actually back far enough, but it picks up light so well
that
actually works and kind of made a flickering effect.
That's awesome.
For pictures,
yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, it was, it's really, really well made. The accessories are awesome. The little creatures with like the tentacles and stuff. Like, how awesome is that? That piece alone is just the sculpt they put into those creatures and stuff. It's beautiful.
Nice. It is.
The trying to think what else. Oh, the bridge, the shackles, the gate, the big snake head. I mean, I'm just looking at the entire thing. It's just beautiful. I know some people complain about the eyes not being colored in on the snake. I will say that in early pictures, I believe it was. So I guess there could be a little bit of gripe on that, but to me, it's a stone snake. Like, it doesn't matter if its eyes are colored to me. So, you know, maybe I'm just choosing to not get upset by that. But
maybe I'm just so impressed by the rest of it that doesn't.
Yeah, it's not a make it or break
it
for me.
It.
Yeah, but
So
coming with that big table with his, you know, the globy thing.
Oh yeah.
And just all those faces, like on the inside, you connect all those faces in there and in the rock, and just, oh my God, this thing is just phenomenal. It's huge. It works great with any of your Masters figures. Of course, Steve is choosing Filmation, and right now I have my Origins over there, but that could change. Who knows? But as of right now, that's what it is.
Yeah, I've had everything on there, actually. I've played with my Origins in there, played with Classics in there, played with my Filmation figures in there. I've even had Mythic Legions stacked out.
There you
so.
Go. Perfect. So, yeah, if you guys didn't get one, I do believe they're actually somewhat popping up on Big Bad Toy Store here and there. And I, at
oh,
one
really?
Point, somebody was saying that they were just regular price. which is still a hell of a lot of money. But if you can snag one, I mean, it's only going to go up in value anyway. So, you know, you really don't have much to lose other than your, you know, money when you purchase it. But it's so worth it. And it just towers over Grayskull. I mean, oh, it's great. So, get it.
So no complaints here. Nothing worth really getting upset over.
No, there was not one thing where I was like, that's it. Even when I was having to shave down that little nub, I was like, I love this thing. So good. Looks great. Fantastic. Bloop. Pops in. Perfect.
And mine fit tight, but it fit. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to modify it to get it to fit.
Yeah.
So now we've got some Origins figures that have hit various ways. Jeremy has all of them. I've got three of them. We're just going to do a quick figure review of all those, I think. So, at least what we think of them. Let's start with Orko.
Yes.
So, Orko Origins. Pretty cool. I'm looking at mine right now. Jeremy's got his
right in front of me here.
In hand.
Could this pretty cool? Could this very well be like the best Orko figure we've ever gotten?
Well,
this one to me is really, really, really good. Especially,
it's pretty cool.
I mean, especially compared to like the vintage figure. If you compare this to the vintage figure, this is just leaps and bounds over that figure.
Yes, I agree with that. For sure.
I know, like, the, you know, some of the classics ones or whatever were probably better in some ways. But I don't know. I just really dig this. He really looks like he came out of the cartoon. And I guess technically, if it's Origins, that's where he was originated from. So.
Except that he's huge.
Yes. Okay, he's big. Which is similar to the...
But is more in line... More in line to the original toy. I think I would have preferred him be a little smaller, but I don't dislike the figure at all. I think the figure stand they gave you is pretty cool. I just wish I kind of feel like they could have at least given us a wand
that,
one though, or
something. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, okay, where's his wand? Like, they've given him a wand with everything ever since past the vintage one. You know, every figure since then has had like a wand. So. I assumed he would have one, but instead they gave him a little glittery purple smoke poof and then the clear stand for it to stand on. So,
what I really would like to have seen is like a magic effect to go on his hands, even more than a wand. I think that would have been
true,
cool.
True. I wonder if there's any way you could take the as seen on TV version and do that.
I don't have that version.
You don't?
No.
Wow.
I didn't get every single one of the As Seen on TV
ones. Crazy. Actually, I really love that figure, too, but I think they just keep getting... Like, Orko is definitely a lot better these days than he ever was.
For sure.
I love the way his head works, too. The, you know, you can turn his head back and forth, but it's just the, you know, the ball... where his eyes are on, and his hat and stuff. And so, you know, you don't have to move the scarf or anything. And it's just, it's really dynamic. You can put him in any position you want. So, I like him.
Super cool. Yep. He's a win. I don't think anybody's really going to have too much complaints about him. I think that maybe that he could have used an accessory other than his stand, but whatever. Now, let's talk about Many Faces.
Okay. This is a good representation of the vintage figure. You know who he is immediately, obviously. Has the same type of articulation as all the other figures have had thus far, other than Orko. The new addition, which I thought was kind of cool, is that you can actually turn his helmet left and right. As well as his face and side. So it's not like, you know, you can only do one of them or whatever. So it's kind of neat. He can look back and forth and, you know, have his different faces. All the faces look like the vintage look.
Yep, a little bit. I mean, for the most part, yes. I'd say that they're a little bit It's a little bit of a softer sculpt than even the original, though.
I would probably give it that. The monster face is kind of... I feel like it could have... Yeah, it could have used a little bit more... I don't know, color or something. Like, his teeth are just green and... Yeah. I don't know. That face isn't the best on here. I'll be completely honest. Out of all the ones, this new wave here, he's actually my least favorite out of all four of them. Which kind of sucks, because I really like Manny faces, but...
Yeah.
Something... Okay, with his arms, that... They're, like we were talking about earlier, this is something with that Skeletor, for Lords of Power. This is, his arms are, they were cast in that blue plastic, but then they color, his skin tone, I guess it's his skin tone, that sort of light orange-yellow color, and it's not the same as his body color. So it's like, it just sticks out a little bit.
And it's almost like you can see the blue bleeding through.
Yeah.
And on mine anyways.
Yep.
And it doesn't match his chest, which is molded in this in the skin tone, I think. So yeah, right in the package, it gives him a slightly cheap look.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah.
You know. So, being that he's one of the most iconic characters of Masters of the Universe, I kind of wish that they could have found a way around that, but he's still, like you said, you see him standing there on the shelf, you know exactly who it is, and he still kind of gives you that same feel.
Yeah, I mean, he's Manny Faces, obviously, but when you get deep into it and start looking at, you know, and nitpicking and stuff, you can find some things for sure. I mean, obviously they cast his body in, you know, his chest and stuff in that sort of yellow color. I feel maybe they could have done that with the arms, because they painted the blue on his chest, you know, so they could have painted the blue on his arms, but
yeah.
I mean, that's what they did with his legs, his upper legs, so.
Yeah, his upper legs matches.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not sure why they chose to do that, because even the blue compared to the painted, you know, legs there is a different color blue almost, you know.
Right, but it's not as jarring for some reason.
It's not, no. I mean, you can actually compare his thigh to his calf, and they're different colors. But you really got to kind of look at it. But so, yeah. I still love him, but he's not going to get as much love as the other guys.
No. And then let's move on to one I don't have yet, the only one I don't have, but Jeremy has him, and I think from pictures I'm going to be very happy with him, but Jeremy, tell us about Trapjaw.
This is a phenomenal figure. I love, 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 love Trapjaw. I love his new face. I think his new face is awesome. The lack of eyebrows kind of makes him look eviler, more evil. He's the color on his face, that green, does kind of have like a... I know it's hard to see in the camera here, obviously, but you've seen some pictures and stuff, but... It's a little bit of a softer green, sort of. It almost looks like a slime green. So, I don't know. And even the helmet color is almost more of a... It's got more pink in it than it does red. So it's kind of got a... I don't. It goes with his underwear. They're the same color, but it is more of a pink than a red to me. So, that's not necessarily bad. It works for him, but it is different from the old ones, which were more of a darker red, I thought. He's got the same arms as, you know, Manny Faces there. The hand is different, though. I just noticed that. Actually, he doesn't have the same arms. I am so wrong. I'm just looking at that. It has some pieces that are very similar. But, yeah, even that sculpt, that's different.
Does he got that gear on his on his left shoulder?
Yeah, he's got the gear there. You can see the gear is different, so it's like the shoulder piece. But then, like the second piece down, like his bicep there, is almost exactly the same. And even the his lower arm. But the hands are different. So, he's got the cool part in here. He's got the elbow swivel. So he can
elbow. It's funny to see, because the vintage trap jaw, his arm was so straight.
Yes.
And it just kind of stuck by his side.
Yes, it was always just either straight up and down or forward or whatever.
But now it has shoulder articulation, and you can kind of have it, you know, pointing off, or, and it really looks cool. It really, you know, it looks fun to see him be able to use his arm a little bit more.
Yeah, and you can, moving it back and forth like that, and bending at the elbow, and you can swivel that part too. So, I mean, there's a lot of different dynamic poses you can put his gun arm in, which is really, really cool. And I've heard, I guess, some people are, there's like, maybe it was a running change or something with the arm, like they're, this articulation up in the shoulder apparently wasn't there for some of them, and now it is, so, yeah. Other than that, it comes with the same weapons he always has, the clampy hand and the hook hand and then the gun. But overall, I love this figure. I think it looks great. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think he looks good too. I can't wait to get my hands on one and add him to my collection.
Yep, he's just a little bit more hot colors. You know, he's a little brighter than the old one. But that's not a problem for me, so...
Which leads us to our last figure in the quad tuplet. I don't know what they would call it. Quartet?
Yeah, being quartet.
Maybe. Scareglow.
Scareglow. Yeah. This one looks quite a bit different to me from the prototype that we were shown. The face and the paint on him. But other than that, looks pretty darn good. Threw me off. I thought his cape was cloth.
It looks
cloth.
So cloth.
And you grab it, you're like
it's molded. Yeah. It's molded in a way that it looks like you can see the the fabric texture.
Yeah.
To it, and it does throw you off. Like I'm looking at mine right now from probably 3 foot away from me, and I'm like, if I didn't know better, I'd say that was cloth.
Yeah, I showed him to Laura, and I said, touch that. She goes, oh, I thought that was cloth. Yeah, so did I. Pretty cool. Comes with his normal weapon.
Halberd? Do they call it a halberd?
Yeah. Yep.
Think
he looks great. I'm kind of confused on some of this paint. Can
I never put too much thought into that.
Well,
even with the original Scareglow,
I didn't either. And I'm basing my my critiques on knowing that it's not going to be it's not going to make much sense. But what I really didn't like was that they changed it on his chest, where there's like this big gap at the top, and that wasn't like that on the prototype. It was perfectly straight, so it actually looked like ribs, and now it looks like he has like a giant thick rib up near the top on each side, if you're looking at the glow part as being his ribs. And I don't know why they changed that. I don't know what they did, if they just the application was messed up or whatever. And then they've added like little things in the black, paint hooks and whatnot. And those are fine to me. Like those don't really bother me. I guess on his arm is kind of like that too. So it's kind of like their own, take on it.
Yeah. Because it is definitely their own.
It kind of reminds, it's almost like their tattoos,
Yeah, it doesn't make any anatomical sense.
And it never did, to be fair. But...
No.
But, yeah, just that one. The one, because we've seen, who is it, The Undertaker? They've done him, and that paint on his chest is perfect. I absolutely love how that looks on him. So I was thinking that's where Scareglow is going to go. And he didn't. And I love Scareglow, and this is not a deal breaker for me by any means whatsoever. I still think he looks great, but that is definitely like, why? Why did you do that type of thing? So.
I understand.
Good, good.
However, I never noticed it, and I never, it never would have entered my brain until you brought it up. So, because I just never put that much anatomical thought in any Scareglow I've ever seen.
Right.
So, I just think he looks cool, and he glows like a son of a gun.
Yeah. Yes. I love glow in the dark stuff so much. You know, you could, if you take his hand off and put it on Skeletor's hand, it looks like he's doing like a magic thingy.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
So,
I'll have to get me a 6 or 7 Scareglows.
Let's go with your 6 or 7 Skeletors.
I bought another He-Man the other day.
I see him on the shelves and I'm like, okay, how can I justify getting another He-Man?
You just never know.
You never know. You're gonna need one.
Never know. You might need them. You're gonna be like, ah. And the thing is I keep buying the ones that like Skeletor and He-Man, which there's the most of. It's not like I'm buying them for an investment. I'm mostly buying them for parts, and I think I would probably customize a lot, maybe. That's my justification. And but I'm like, I keep buying the ones that I think are probably just always going to be available because there's so many of them. I'll go in there and I'll see a full rack load, and there'll be like, I don't know, you know, 8 He-Mans, 8 Skeletors, and one of each of Teela and Evil-Inn and Man-at-Arms and who's the other one? Beast-Man. And I've got a couple of each one of those, but every time I'll get sucked into buying a He-Man or a Skeletor. The last time I bought, I specifically bought because they had Battlecat and He-Man there, and I thought it would be fun to buy a He-Man and a Battlecat at the same time. That's how sick I am.
That was your justification?
Yeah, I'm like, I've never walked in and bought a He-Man and a Battlecat at the same time.
That's a good point.
So let me do this. I'm going to go through the wall. I'm going to enjoy walking up there with my He-Man and my Battlecat.
There you go. Maybe somebody will see me and they'll go, where'd you get that He-Man and Battlecat? Actually, when I was at the store the other day, before I got to that aisle, I heard a father and son talking about, he goes, oh yeah, that's Battlecat. He's like, Battlecat, yeah, that's Battlecat. But they didn't walk away with him, so. Yeah, I know. I'm like, man,
kids.
Yeah.
Man, did I tell you guys, I don't know if I told you the story where I was there, and they're looking at there's this father-son looking at the WWE figures, but not the WWE Masters of the Universe figures, the regular WWE figures. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him haul over which ones they should get, and I'm like, the kid isn't even noticing these the Masters of the WWE Universe figures.
Exactly.
And I want to say, I just want to come over there, but I don't, you know, it'd be weird, but it'd be, hey, kid, look at these.
Wait, can I parent your child for a second? Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
Look, son.
It's so frustrating.
God. Yeah, it's... I don't know. I hope kids get on this stuff. That's all I'm saying. But regardless, us adults are. And actually... Andres Rey is going to get the entire first wave of the Origins from us, so he'll be able to play along.
Yes, sir.
Well,
I think that's an episode.
I think so, too. I definitely have some listener feedback, and, you know, of course we want to do a mini-comic thing, but we can push that off due to time, and I'm just... super excited that we finally got to do our create a character thing and let people know, one, like, this has been on my mind for over a month now.
for sure. That's gonna be, it's good to get that off our chest. We get out there, we'll try to get back to an episode here soon and do a real, you know, catch our listener feedback up and do a mini comic and get back to normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, we considered just making this episode based around the contest and stuff, but the fact that we were able to throw a few extra things in there was pretty nice, so worked out, even though Matt couldn't do the review with us. But, you know, check out Toy Huntress, Rachel's Toy Reviews, and you can see how Matt feels.
Yeah. See how Matt feels. So everybody, thanks for listening to us. Thanks for, we've already said it, but thank you enough for your everybody's participation in the Create a Figure contest we did, or Create a Character contest. So like I said, we'll be back soon. Take care, be safe, and then, until then, we'll see you around the universe.
Bye.